Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. As these holidays approach, are you dealing with grief? Are you dealing with a loss? Now tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to lose a child and then go through some holidays? Have you ever wondered why it can be so difficult to accept and acknowledge your feelings? Now would you like to learn what happens when you let yourself scale back during the holidays? I'm kind of learning that lesson myself this year. Have you ever heard of a book called Tomorrow Comes? Now would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers and some of the help we need today? Now are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to get through the holidays with grief or loss? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to my guest, and she's been a co-host on the show. She's an author, and she will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about dealing with loss and grief during the holidays. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on six networks with over 4.4 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself some eggnog, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. She grew up wanting to be two things, a mother and a writer. She became a mom after the birth of her first child, and she became a writer after the death of her youngest child, Emma. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show Donna Mebane. Hi, Donna. How are you today?
I'm good, January. How are you? I like the nod to the season with eggnog instead of wine.
Very good. You see, I love you. That's why I love you. You're so attentive to those little things. I don't think Chad even probably noticed that, but I'm glad that you did. You know, and I should have said, instead of cheese and crackers, I should have said eggnog and gingerbread cookies. So I'll do
there
that.
There you go.
I'll
there
do that
you go. Next
tomorrow.
Time. Next time.
Well, you know, just before we went on the air, you had sent me a wonderful article that you wrote, and it's author, mother, talent consultant for a major financial institution. And your article is an amazing article. It's six steps to survive the holiday season after loss. Let's talk a little bit about that article. It was posted in the Huffington Post. Very prestigious. Okay. You write about listening to Bing Crosby as we decorate.
I date myself, don't I?
Yeah, I know.
So we all know that I'm a woman of a certain age if I,
yes.
I listen to
yes.
Bing Crosby.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I used to be very dramatic. While we were decorating the tree, I would play songs that I really wanted to hear, and the kids would moan and groan and carry on about, who is this guy, and why are we listening to this, and can't we listen to Madonna doing Santa Baby or something like that? But it was a tradition for us that we always listened to Bing Crosby, and I was very melodramatic about, someday you'll be decorating the tree, and I won't be with you, and you'll think about these songs, and you'll miss me, you know, and I was one of those moms that was always, you know, a little tiny tinge of guilt. Someday I won't be here, and you'll wish.
I do that. I do that all the time. I mean, and my father used to do it to me.
So maybe that was even part of the tradition, was that little tinge of guilt. Yeah. So I say in the article, and it's true, that you know, that there are just some things that that I no longer do. And it has now been close to 5 years since we lost Emma. And I will tell you, January, I know that I've shared with you before that we haven't had any meals in our dining room because it's a place of special family times. But on Thanksgiving, we went back in the dining room, and I consider that to be great progress. So I had no idea. You know, I think you and I had talked about there could be 10, there could be 20 things that you do to survive the holidays, and I'm not at all sure that any of them or that all of them are appropriate for everyone, but certainly I hope that there are a few tips in there that will help your listeners, particularly if this is the first or second or third time that they've had to go through something like this.
You know, my experience, as you know, and I've shared with my listeners, I lost my first husband when I was 25. He was 32. But, you know, for me, it was a different thing because I had a 3-year-old and we had a 6-week-old. So he died in March. So by December, I had to do a Christmas because of them. So it kind of forced me to do it sooner, but I think it would be very difficult to do it when you have an older child or when you're dealing with adults. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. And I guess I was fortunate on the one hand, and on the other hand, as you say, when you have young children, you just sort of, you may be in a fog, but you simply have to kind of put one step in front of the other. So in some ways, I was not fortunate because my children were all older. She was my youngest, and she was 19. But I will say that one of the pieces of advice that I've given to young parents who have suffered a very difficult loss, the loss of a child, or even the first Christmas after they've lost a parent or something like that, ask for help. I mean, you know, I think that one of the things I think I would have done, I'm not sure, but if I had younger children, I think I would have asked somebody if they would shop for me. Just give them the amount of money that I would like to, you know, that I would typically spend and say, can you help Santa come to our house this year? Because I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can wear the Santa hat this year. And I know, and because I've told a couple of people to do it, and they have, I know people would do it for you. I think.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's so true because people don't know what to do. You know,
exactly.
They want to help. They want to do something, and it can be such a devastatingly sad time. So if you actually give them the opportunity, they'll be all over it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's meaningful help. I mean, you know, as you know, you get casseroles and you get, you know, ad nauseum Christmas cookies, and that's all nice and that's wonderful and all of that. But after a bit, that, you know, you run out of freezer space. Certainly, heaven knows we don't all need the more cookies. But something like that is very meaningful. And I think you are exactly right. People want to help. They just don't know what to do.
That's a brilliant suggestion because I've done a lot of shows on this topic and I've read a lot of things, but it really is a unique, and that's something that I think people listening, if you know someone who is going through this, what a wonderful thing to offer, because they
I can't imagine that even in the best of times, people enjoy fighting Christmas crowds, but in the worst of times, it's overwhelming. I mean, it just feels like a tsunami. Even this year, you know, again, 4.5 years after Emma died, still really struggle with the shopping, really struggle. Mm-hmm. But so that's one thing I think if you do have the small children. But again, if that doesn't work for you, then I think, you know, you just have to do what feels good to you, which is probably the main overall piece of advice. You said it in the introduction. You're not yourself. if it helps you to be on autopilot and just kind of mechanically do the things you've always done, then maybe that's what's the best thing for you. But I think the main thing to do is to acknowledge you are not yourself. You may never be the same self ever, ever again. But certainly during the holidays, you cannot ask too much of yourself. You'll know.
And I think that first year is a traumatic experience because it's a year of first. It's the first year daddy's not there for Christmas. It's the first year you're eating turkey without him, you know, and it's first year Emma's gone. And everything that happens in that first year just takes on and sometimes you think you're the only one who realizes they're not there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've said this. Certainly, I think the first year is unlike any other. It's just the rawness of the pain and the physicality of the grief. I mean, just the exhaustion, you know, and the difficulty sort of taking breaths and, you know, crying just kind of wipes you out. I actually struggled a little bit more the second year because the first year, people knew it was the first. You know, people were very sensitive to it. And they'd be like, oh, you know, and they'd still be talking about Emma. They'd say, oh, I'm sure it would be hard for you this year being the first year without Emma for Christmas. By the second year, and one of the tips I say her name, tell stories about him, you know, whoever the loved one that's lost. The first year people seem a little bit more willing to say their name and say, oh, I remember the time that Emma did this or Emma did that. But by the second year, they either think you're, quote, over it, as you said, or they think they're going to make you feel uncomfortable if they talk about them. And universally, I hear from people who are grieving that they think about their lost one, their loved one, all the time. And you mentioning their name is not going to make them sad. They're sad because they don't have them.
Right.
Mentioning their name and telling stories about them are definitely something that you know, that does help. And I think that that's a universal feeling that people have no matter what the loss.
Oh, for sure. You know, I have a book that's by my bedside and it's been there for 40 some years, and it's by Joan Didion, and it's A Year of Magical Thinking.
Oh, yes, and I read that.
And that's the book she wrote. And, you know, unless you've gone through it, it doesn't resonate with you. But when you read her book, you go, oh my gosh, that's exactly the way I felt. That's exactly.
It's amazing how many things, you know, how many we talk about how grief, everybody's grief is somewhat different, but there's so many aspects that are the same. I remember one of the things that Joan said was she couldn't throw away his socks because what if he came back and needed them? And that's ridiculous, of course. You know that they're not going to come back. But I haven't thrown anything of Emma's out. Now, I think the second year she was actually able to do some of those things. I have not yet been able to do that. Emma's room, it's not a shrine. I mean, you know, we've stored some things of hers in there and all of that. But I cannot bring myself to to go through her clothes and give them away. Now, she, of course, was of the age that she lent clothes to everybody under the sun and vice versa. And so I had the kids come over and take back what was theirs, and I asked them to keep what she had lent to them, you know, and so there's that. Now, so that's me, but I know there are some people who get great comfort from giving clothes to people who are needy and all of that and knowing that,
Or people who care about certain items and things, and I had to get the closet cleaned out because otherwise I couldn't go forward. It was just like, you know, too sad for me to even look at the clothes. Yeah. But then I have one line, and this is just what I say. And people say, what was it like to be a young widow when you were 25? And my line is, the only good thing I can say about it is you get more closet space.
That demonstrates your unique sense of humor, and I think that is something we probably need to take a break, I guess, soon. But what I do want to talk about being able to laugh and find joy, know, to allow yourself to be sad, but also to allow yourself to laugh. And what a perfect thing to, you know, what a perfect way to acknowledge that they're
segue into our wonderful sponsors. I hope they're laughing too. We'll be right back.
Any moment, we can be painfully reminded that none of us is immune from loss. Perhaps the worst nightmare of any parent is the loss of a child. When this happens to someone else, most parents quietly wonder how they could ever deal with such an inversion of the natural order. When author Donna Mebbin lost her youngest daughter, Emma, She initially wanted to give up and join her beautiful, spirited 19-year-old, but she didn't. Instead, she wrote the multi-award-winning novel, Tomorrow Comes, an amazing book in which Donna chronicles the way her family lives forward and imagines the way Emma does too, in a magical land called After. Tomorrow Comes is available on Amazon and other online booksellers. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Millard, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. The Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine. Certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive, she brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channel journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com.
Welcome back, January Jones, sharing success stories. And today we're sharing some holiday feelings and things that people go through the holidays who have experienced grief and loss. We're visiting with Donna Meaden, and she's the author of a fabulous book, Tomorrow Comes. It's a book that I recommend during this difficult time of the year for some people. It's a book that they will be able to read. It will comfort them, and it'll make them laugh. And that's just what we were talking about, Donna, the ability to laugh, weren't we?
We were, and I think that too often, and I think this is true in life, it doesn't have anything to do with, or it has to do with grief, but it has to do with just about everything else too. Too often, I think we behave the way we expect or think others want us to behave. And one of the things for sure when you're grieving is that you need to allow yourself to be sad if you need that, if you need time to just be, you know, by yourself or to grieve or to cry. But I think the other thing that's really hard for people to allow themselves to experience, particularly soon after the death of a loved one, is joy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about the holiday season is there will be joy. I mean, there will be. It just happens, you know. You see a little kid out there sitting on Santa's lap, and you'll find yourself smiling. Or, you know, you get an unexpected bouquet of flowers or something in the mail, and it makes you happy. And I think one of the things that people really struggle with is feeling a positive feeling after they've lost somebody. You know, they kind of look around and say, oh gosh, did people see me laugh? What will they think of me?
Yeah,
you know, I've lost my daughter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I think that just is it. If you're lucky enough to feel happiness or joy, and you will be, let it happen. You know, let it wash over you. We were just laughing a little bit. Last night, I was telling you, January, before the show, that Sunday was my daughter's 24th birthday, and so we Skyped with my other daughter who's in Japan, and my son and his wife were here, and my other son is in Seattle, and we cried a lot, of course, and one of the things that my daughter was saying is that one of the commitments that she's made since Emma died is that she's not going to be resentful of getting older. You know, the gray hairs and the wrinkles and all of that. You know, I mean, Emma was beautiful when she died, but, you know, and she will always be that way. And Sarah is now 35. And so she was telling us this, and we were all crying. And then she made a joke about, well, maybe I don't love the wrinkles exactly, or, you know, I could do with one or two less gray hairs, you know, that kind of thing. And here in the midst of our tears, we started to just howl with laughter, and it probably wasn't even as funny as we felt it was, but getting into that feels.
I know exactly how she feels, sweetie, because my husband died at 32. Uh-huh. He will always be 32. Try being 72.
Right. Having been married to a still 32-year-old.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I mean, you could almost get really pissed off about it, but then the reality is I'm thankful for every 40 years that I've got that he wasn't able to have with
our children. And that is something I think that, you know, you really do come to believe. I remember I was on a plane and somebody was in front, you know, people say stuff and they have no idea who's listening, but it was some woman lamenting growing old, and she said, I say to my kids, don't you grow old, you know, it's a pain in the neck and all that stuff. And I almost wanted to reach out to her and say, look, it beats the alternative, you know, which is what my grandfather always said. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about reshaping traditions, because that's a big part of your article, and I think you've got some really powerful messages here.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I think one of the things that I started the article with was not continuing with things that make you feel bad. So, for example, we don't put stockings up anymore. I just can't see a place where Emma's stocking, you know, should be. I just can't. Yeah. I can't do that. Now, maybe someday I will, but I can't do that right now. So there are things that definitely we've given up, traditions that have been different. But over time we started to do other things that we had never done. So, for example, we go to Christmas brunch, and let me tell you, that's fun. I mean, to go to some place that's really decorated nicely, to have all the bacon in the world you want, you know, to have the eggnog and the wine. We've selected new seats. We no longer open our presents in the living room, which is where we used to open them. But now we do it in the family room. I think one of the things that has been, and I've actually heard a couple of other people who have done this since I began to do it, is I give little gifts to everyone that are inspired by Emma, and I put a little note on it that says, if it says, you know, something that I think she would have said, and then I'm not trying to channel her or anything, but then I end up saying inspired by Emma, not, you know, love Emma or whatever.
Yeah.
But
right.
Everybody has really begun to look forward to those. And I actually have fun going out trying to find stuff that I think you and I have talked before, that we think a sign from her is oftentimes in the shape of a cardinal.
Okay.
Or a star. And I think people have their own special thing. Sometimes it's a color, sometimes it's an animal, sometimes it's a song. But whatever it is, you'll be amazed. It's kind of like when you buy a red car, suddenly all you see are red cars.
Start
looking for cardinals or stuff.
Share your story about Thanksgiving morning when you looked out the kitchen window.
Oh, yeah. So it was funny because we have a bird feeder outside of our house. And one of the things that happened on Thanksgiving Day was I looked out the window, and there were, honestly, there must have been, it felt like there were hundreds, but there were probably dozens of cardinals, male and female. And they were hopping all around like they were partying. And we sort of speculated that Emma must have taught all of her friends to be cardinals so that they could come have Thanksgiving, you know, leftovers at the Mevin house, but it was amazing. I mean, now I'm sure there could be a logical explanation for it, but it was weird and comforting.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, never have I seen that many birds outside of our window. It was just amazing. Another thing that I haven't told you, January, my father gave us a tree. It's a red bud, and it blooms beautifully in the spring, but it has heart-shaped leaves. And so every year my husband collects the first leaf that comes out and the last leaf to drop. And this year, that Thanksgiving with all the cardinals was actually last Thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving, he collected the last leaf. And when he turned around and looked as he was coming in the house to press it and put it in our, you know, uh-huh. our memory box, there was a female cardinal sitting in the exact spot that the last leaf had dropped. So, you kind of want that to be true, but I mean, so many things happen that you almost have to believe that some of it may be energy from the other side. I don't know if you've ever shared whether you think that's true or not.
I absolutely agree with that. Actually, we had a show last night with Carolyn Green. She's another co-host on the show, and she's written a book, Wisdom of Pearls, and we talked about the same thing, about people being open to communication. A lot of times, the other side is trying to communicate, but they can't get through to you. It's just, they're on a different wavelength. And we had a long show about that. And I certainly do believe it. For me, it's music. You know, I can be thinking about something, and then a certain song that we shared will come on the radio or my iPod. And it's like, oh, okay, you agree. It could be a coincidence, but it's happened to me so many times that I think it's a different level.
I was on a show, I can't really think at the moment what show it was, but one of the things that the interviewer said to me is that it's not so much each individual thing, it's how many things. And over time you sort of say, okay, that could have been coincidence and that could have been coincidence, but really can all of these things be coincidence? That made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, and then try doing that for over 40 years, and you kind of get the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now, we're going to get the picture from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And when we come back, Donna's going to give us her website, and she's going to share with us how you can get her book, and it would be a wonderful gift to give to anyone who is struggling during this season. We'll be right back.
Where does all the money go? Surely you should have more to show for all the work you do. And what about the future? Heck, what about next week? Chris Miles to the rescue. Chris is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur with a reputation of getting his clients fast, life-altering results right now, not 25 to 40 years from now. Let Chris Miles show you how to quickly free up and create more cash flow with results you can enjoy today, not tomorrow. Visit MoneyRipples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. Visit today, not tomorrow. January is thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Nancy Irwin, who will be co-hosting on iHeartRadio with January Jones. As a doctor of psychology, clinical hypnotist, and author of U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife, Dr. Nancy is an agent for change. Many people believe that change can be scary, but she believes it can actually be creative and fun. She does know a thing or two about change because at age 44, she transitioned from a stand-up comedian to shrink. Oh, believe her, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed. Most fears are learned, and the good news is whatever we learned, we can unlearn. Smoking, overeating, fear of public speaking, test anxiety, what have you. On our show, we'll be discussing how you can dissolve that negative programming and free your inner winner. Change is inevitable. You can either affect it or accept it. Visit her site, drnancyirwin.com. From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com.
Welcome back. And we're visiting with Donna Maben, and she's the author of Tomorrow Comes. It's a book she wrote after she lost her beautiful daughter, Emma. Donna, let's talk a little bit about share your website and how people can get this wonderful book.
Okay, so the book can be ordered from any of the major, online booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, that kind of thing. Some people have ordered it, however, through our website, which is Starshine Galaxy. That's starshinegalaxy.com, and we call it a recharging station for bereaved hearts. And if you order it and send me a little note, I will, sign it and write a personal note. I've done that a number of times for someone who has lost somebody so that it becomes an even more special gift. I will say that one of the things that has happened lately is that people who have not lost a child, or really even haven't lost anybody, are starting to find the book because, and you shared this earlier, January, and it makes me so happy when you say this, it really is a book of hope. It's a funny book. It's, again, the blend of, it's sad, of course. I mean, a young woman died way, way, way too soon for no reason whatsoever, and that's sad. But part of the book speculates what she might be finding and doing and in this place that we call after. And she was a very funny, very kind, very loving young lady. And so it's very difficult to have written a book. It would have been impossible to have written a book about Emma without it being, funny and hopeful.
Yeah. And what I love is that you stress that it's important to say her name, just because they're in a different element or a different, I compare it to a radio show. We talked about this last night. We're all Skyping, and one of us is in Florida, one of us is in Colorado, one's in Arizona, and we're on a wavelength where we can communicate. However, when people pass over, it's my feeling, there's still a wavelength that they can try to communicate with us. And I think every time you say their name or bring them forward, that gets their attention. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. And as I know you have read the book, and one of the things that I speculate in the book, and I actually go into it a little bit more in the second book, which I am hoping to get out right after the first of the year, is that when you say their name, when you talk about them, when you take some time to really just have it be personal connection time with the person you've lost, it gives them energy. And so my speculation in the book is when that happens, she gets more energy and therefore is more capable of connecting. So, I mean, I know that there's a part of the book where Sarah, my oldest daughter, tries to have her come to her, and she goes online to try to, research what might be to open up that channel. And I know a lot of people really do believe that channel is there, and I haven't heard people liken it to Skype. That's a very interesting comparison, because I'm still of the mind that Skype and the internet, all of that, is kind of magic. I mean, when we on Sunday we were Skyping with my one daughter who's in Japan, my other son who's in Seattle. The three of us were here.
I know.
And I say, how is this possible? I remember the days when my father, as a Navy commander, was away, and the very few times we could talk to him on the phone, everybody'd have to think exactly of what they wanted to say because it was too expensive, and you just have to say, love you, Dad, miss you, But now you can Skype with people all over the world, and at the same time, it's just, and for free. It's just so shocking to me.
So it's just kind of like you just extend your Skype connection to the next dimension, and you're communicating. It was very special for me this Veterans Day. Both of my daughters, who never knew their father, posted Veterans Day. They posted pictures of him on their Facebook, and what an explosion of love that we felt, because not many people have ever even seen his picture on Facebook. So it was kind of a special thing they did, and it touched me deeply. And I felt you know, it's like say their name, post their picture, bring them into your world. I think that's a wonderful thing that you stress in your book.
Yeah.
Now, let's switch over to take time for you. How about that?
Yeah, so I, now I don't know how much of this is because I'm now in my 60s or how much of this is because of the loss of Emma, but I certainly tire more easily. I have all my life been an extreme extrovert. It's been very hard for the people who love to shut me up once they wind me up and get me going. And I'm very comfortable with silence now. I don't feel the need to fill every moment with, you know, sound and talk. Mm-hmm. I take naps. I love naps. It's a time that I can think by myself about Emma and, you know, perhaps try to connect with her a little bit. I think I've told you the funny story about being kind of mad at her because she doesn't visit me the way she does some people. You know, she seems to come to some people all the time in dreams and, you know, they're always posting on Facebook. Oh, I had a dream about Emma last night. And I was kind of mad at her because I had only had one dream about her. And so it was actually Mother's Day and I was lying in bed and I was taking a nap and I said, oh gosh, Emma, you know, I mean, if there's ever a time that you should come and see me, it would be now. And I must have fallen asleep without realizing it, but suddenly she was there, and I said to her, not like that. She was lying on top of me, and I was having trouble breathing. I said, Emma, not like that. You know, just why don't you be here next to me? And she was howling with laughter. She's like, Mom, you can't ask me to come and sit you and tell me how it's going to go. It's hard enough for me to, you know, do this. And we were just laughing because I was like, I know, but I'd really rather, you know, be like that first dream where we were out flying around helping people and all this stuff. So when I woke up, I thought, oh my gosh, do you believe that? Here she did visit me. And I was criticized. I was telling her, you know, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way or be like that or something like that. But I guess to take time for you is just that. I mean, several times over the holidays, I'll excuse myself and just go off to my room or go someplace and sit down, take a walk or something like that. And most people understand, and if they don't, I don't really care, you know? it's kind of me that I'm trying to make be okay.
I think everyone has to find that space that comforts them. And for me, as I said earlier, it's music. If I go out and I take the dog for a walk and I listen to music and I'll be out for 40, 50 minutes, it just refreshes my soul. It helps me think of everyone that has ever passed, especially during the holidays, because you can't help, as you said, hearing these Christmas songs. And guess what? You've got memories that go way back. You know, not just my husband or Emma, there's a lot of other people that we think about during the holidays. It's a special time of the year, and I think it's wonderful to be able to have you here to talk about it. But right now we're going to hear from our sponsors, and when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about the fact that it's okay to be sad, but you also have to eventually be open to the fact that you will experience joy, you will laugh again, you will smile, and it's okay to cry, but then at some point, it will get better. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
The new book, God Reconsidered, Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.godreconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's godreconsidered.com. Layla, a book by Jeannie Kerrigan, will take you on a journey, a raw, heart-wrenching journey. The final resting place? Love. Jeannie is an author, healer, and executive director of Ricky's Revolution Nonprofit. You can get your copy of her book at JeannieKerrigan.com. Ricky's Revolution comes directly out of Layla, dedicated to helping homeless runaway youths and victims of sex trafficking reach a place of safety. We distribute Jeannie's monkey named Ricky with vital hotline numbers embroidered on him free to children on the street through loving collaboration with thousands. Proceeds from the book and your donations have saved lives. RickysRevolution.org. Are you living the life you always wanted? Is your relationship fulfilling or a constant roller coaster ride? Do you know how to chart your own path? If you are sick of struggling, overwhelmed, stressed, but desire balance, emotional freedom, and a purposeful life, then it's time to try something that really works. Dr. Casey's unique result-oriented emotional mastery technique will teach you how to be your own therapist while empowering you to be your best. Learn more at drsimoncasey.com. That's drsimoncasey.com. Pam Evans has been married and divorced 4 times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too.
Welcome back, January Jones, sharing success stories, and I'm visiting with my friend Donna Mebane. Donna, let's talk a little bit about positive energies, things that people can do to help other people, and volunteering during the holidays to kind of take you out of your sad place.
Yeah, well, one of the things, and I wouldn't recommend this necessarily the first year, but I know one thing several people do is that they actually pick out a child who would be the same age as the child that they've lost. And they, you know, specifically ask, you know, all of these toys for tots and all that stuff. They specifically ask for a child that would be the age. So for me, this year, it would be someone who is 24. And they pick out presents and gifts for that person. So in that way, there's two needs being satisfied. One, the very real needs of a poor child who wouldn't get gifts any other way. And the other is the need to be in touch with someone who is that age, which I think is something that you know, can be very helpful. I think the main thing, though, is to just step into whatever you're feeling. So don't try to stave off the sadness. I mean, step into it. When I want to cry, I cry. You know, I don't say, oh, I can't cry right now because I've got to make the mashed potatoes. I say, Sarah, take over the mashed potatoes. I need to be by myself for a while.
Right.
Well, but also to step into the joy. You know, I don't read too many of the things that are out there about, you know, death and sadness. I feel as though in some cases, I feel as though in many cases, I can express it as well as anybody. But I did find something, and I'm happy to send you the link to it. And it's kind of a nobody. It's not an author or anything like that. An old man who talks about grief. And, you know, he talks about he doesn't want to get used to people dying. He wants, you know, every time someone he loves dies, it tears a hole through his heart. But he doesn't want it not to matter. But the thing that struck me was he talked about grief. As for grief, he said, you'll find it comes in waves. When the ship is first wrecked, you're drowning with wreckage all around you. Everyone floating around you reminds you of the beauty and the magnificence of the ship that was and is no more. And all you can do is float. You find some piece of the wreckage and you hang on to it for a while. Maybe it's some physical thing. Maybe it's a happy memory or photograph. Maybe it's a person who is also floating. For a while, all you can do is float and stay alive. And he talks about how the waves initially are 100 feet tall and they come without mercy and they crash on you 10 seconds apart and you can't catch your breath. And then after a while, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe years, the waves are still 100 feet tall, but they come farther apart. You know, when they come, they still crash over you and wipe you out. But in between, you can breathe and you can be happy, you know, and you can live again. And at some point, the waves are only 80 feet tall or maybe they're only 50 feet tall. Still, you can see them coming on an anniversary, a birthday, or Christmas. You can see it coming and you can prepare yourself. When it washes over you, you know that somehow you will again come out of it on the other side. And I thought that was just beautiful. And I think for me, that really does describe 4.5 years later, there are still 100-foot waves. but they don't mm-hmm. come crashing over me every second of every day. And generally
right.
I know that her birthday and Christmas and Thanksgiving, I know
mm-hmm.
that the day she would have graduated from college, I know that the, you know, I know
yeah.
those are going to be very hard days, and I take special mm-hmm. care of myself as
exactly.
I take care for those days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start to anticipate them, and then you see, you also have a perspective because you see other people who are going through these kind of things, and you know there's nothing you can say to make it easier because everyone has to walk their own walk and go through their own
yeah.
experience. You know, just before we sign off, I just want to share interesting thought that came to me because before we went on the air, you shared with me that you had a new puppy.
And, yep,
and
my grand puppy. I don't seem
yeah.
to be having any grandchildren, so I had to go get myself a grand puppy.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to share with our listeners that animals can be the most therapeutic,
oh.
healing presence in your life because you have an animal in your life. Their love is unconditional. It takes your mind off your sadness. I think a lot of these dogs are called therapy dogs, and they're called that for a very good reason because they are very therapeutic. So sometimes it's nice to let an animal into your life. Don't you agree, Donna?
I couldn't agree more. And I'll tell you what, I love this puppy more than I could have thought possible. And I know some of that is just it's just weird because, I mean, I've always loved dogs. I've always had them in my life. And I know that some of it is, you know, you can't say, oh my gosh, the puppy is in place of your daughter. But she used to come and lie in bed with me on Sunday mornings and just talk.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I let him come up on our bed. And when his best time in our bed is Sunday mornings. He comes and he snuggles and he just lies there and he just accepts whatever
yeah.
I'm saying. You know, it's almost like he understands
okay.
it. So, yeah, boy, yeah. if somebody can do that, that is the ultimate in finding a place to put your love, you know.
You know how crazy I am about my dog, Zoe. I can't tell you the times that she's looked at me and I've looked at her and I thought, who are you?
Yep, exactly.
How do you know all this about me? Where did you come
exactly.
from?
Exactly. No,
something
that's exactly different. Right.
Yeah, so it's a therapeutic thing. I know not everyone's ready to race out and get a dog, but sometimes it does help you get through the long days. It's been just wonderful having you back on the show with us, Donna. I can't wait to hear next year all about your new book. What's the title of the new book?
Tomorrow Beckons.
Okay, Tomorrow Beckons. Tomorrow comes, tomorrow back. Very good. I like it. Killer title. Keep up the good work and keep me posted on it, okay?
Thank you, and a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all your listeners. Find the joy. It's there.
Okay, we'll keep looking.
Okay.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you enjoyed our show today with Donna as much as I've enjoyed having her back with us. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Donna. This is the show where you hear information that will help you to become successful and will help you deal with life's grief and life's loss. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining World. Sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, stop whining, start smiling, and then you can start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work this month, then you can start eating gingerbread cookies and drinking lots and lots of eggnog. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Donna Mebane. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with Christmas music by Sorantos.
I think
it's Christmas time.
Again. Once again it's snowing outside. I look out my window with cheer. I'm filled with such a sense of pride. This is my favorite time of the year.
Once again I feel so peaceful. Memories as a child flood my mind. Food I've eaten makes my belly full. I'm having such a good time.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.